1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu the U.S. opposes Israeli military action in the Gaza city of Rafah. But ABC's Marcus Moore in Tel Aviv says some fighting has begun.
Israel launched a ground operation in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. The IDF saying it killed 20 members of Hamas and found three operational tunnel shafts. And they have taken control of the critical Rafah crossing.
At the same time, there are still ongoing talks for a ceasefire in Cairo. Today, President Biden will speak at the Holocaust Memorial Museum, the White House announcing steps it's going to take to combat anti-Semitism in the U.S. There's a tornado warning in effect for parts of Illinois and Missouri, including St. Louis. There were 16 reported tornadoes across six states Monday. Severe weather blamed for one death in Oklahoma. And former President Donald Trump's criminal hush money trials continues today in New York. This is ABC News. Another American's been arrested in Russia. Army Staff Sergeant Gordon Black accused of beating a woman and robbing her during a visit to Russia to see a girlfriend. A court in eastern Russia ordering him held until at least July. In Moscow, Vladimir Putin being sworn in for his fifth term as president.
He knows the drill. He's been here before. The inauguration ceremony for Vladimir Putin in the Grand Kremlin Palace. This one, just a few months short of a quarter century as Russia's leader. With his hand on a copy of the Constitution, he begins another run as president. Already the longest-serving leader since Stalin, he's constitutionally eligible to run for yet another 6 years in 2030. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
And a lock of Beethoven's hair providing new clues on how the musical genius died. Researchers finding high levels of lead and arsenic, which may have been found in cheap wine. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Jeff Levering and wife Ashley love their patio door from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
It's so bright, it's so clear. I can see the kids outside playing, and it makes it comfortable for the life we live.
I love the roll screen. The fact that the screen is on the inside and no drafts, it's a game changer.
Right now, get 0% interest-free financing for up to 60 months when you order by May 10th. Set your free in-home consultation at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 5/10/2024.
What does cheese, beer, and you have to do with local radio?
I know. It's Todd Alba and the Trigby Olsen's What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour.
To get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd. It's just such a fantastic place.
Miss them in your town, more visits, and your chance to connect coming up.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The election leader in Wisconsin's largest city is out 6 months before the presidential election. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's replacing Election Commission Director Claire Woodall with her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez. Milwaukee has had its share of scrutiny in a swing state like Wisconsin, where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point. A collection of art by inmates of Wisconsin state prisons is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. Curator Deborah Bremer says people are surprised by the quality of the art, but that she also understands.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
Art Against the Odds is on display through Sunday the 19th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose the opener in KC. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Despite the threat of severe storms, the Brewers and Royals played 8.5 innings and Kansas City won 3-2. The Brewers, unable to get much scoring, now have lost 3 of their last 4 on the road. The series continues at Kauffman Stadium. NBA playoffs continue without the Bucks and Giannis, who explained what happened with that calf injury that benched him in the final month of the season.
I felt a little bit of pain under my calf. did not know what it was exactly. You know, I felt like somebody, you know, had like tripped me or something. And then I realized there was nobody behind me. And it's probably the first time in my career to get hurt of an injury with nobody like being around me. Like, it's different when you step on somebody's foot. I got off the table and kind of did my few steps.
I couldn't.
And that's when I knew that, you know, maybe something's off. After that, I had to, for the next few days, I had to wear like a boot.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely, especially this afternoon. Our high today, 59, with wind out of the southeast at around 10 to 20, gusting to 25, especially in the morning. Tonight, gradual clearing, still some lingering showers, thundershowers, 50. Tomorrow, sun in the morning. Sprinkles in the afternoon with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Maggie Dawn.
On my next show, I'll be interviewing 14th Assembly District candidate Brady Coulthard. I'm also going to break down Trump's interview with Time Magazine. Gotta fact check the heck out of that one.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here in an absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous Tuesday morning. Got a text here from Scotty. This is why we listen. Sally Struthers need me in the groin stories. Keep them coming, Scotty. True story? All right. Okay. We're at Jake Van de Plaat's Door County Farm for Veterans. Jake, great to have you here, buddy.
Thanks for having me back on. It's an honor to be here.
Tell everybody a little bit about what you do.
Oh, yeah. We are a school for veterans, police, firefighters, and EMS. We teach how to grow produce and live sustainably. We want to make sure that you're getting high nutrient-dense food. So we believe that your health, even your mental health, starts with the food that you consume. And with this month being Mental Health Awareness Month, we want to reach out and make sure everybody's doing okay.
So that's, you learned how to grow healthy, nutritious food. It's organic, but yeah. There's a lot to be said for the connection of a good mind, a good mental health, and, yes, and gardening, or I guess it's farming or whatever you
call it. Yeah, and I don't know what exactly it is, if it's the microbes in the soil, but it has been absolutely influential for me in every single aspect. So being able to take something from a seed and be able to plant it,
right,
grow it, take care of it, that process in its own is a very therapeutic process.
That's a great point.
And great for mental health, but I do want to say there's some studies that shows that you can also live a healthier life, a longer life, if that's one of the things you do. I mean, they want socialization and a number of other things, but definitely gardening always comes up as one of the top things to do. Yeah. Where, tell me again, I know you were on our show. Where is your place? And then
So we're actually located just south of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin.
Right.
6 miles out of town. So if you hang right at the Walgreens as you're heading north, you run into the greenhouse. You'll run right into my greenhouses. And we will have a farm stand open up on the property this year. We're going to start moving some food through there. We are opening up an actual workshare program as well. And so you can come and work for produce and take food home with you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
cool. It's a win-win. So we need
help. Is that for the military and EMS, or is that open to anyone, or how do you want to do that?
So basically everything is open up for the public, and it's also up a lot of what we do is we want to help get veterans set up on their own properties. So this year we actually have two veterans that are actually getting their own agriculture endeavor set up this year that we actually help get fired up. We got one gentleman that actually starting up a haying operation, so he's going to be starting to cut hay. We ended up hooking him up with a hay bind, a rake, and a round baler, so he's ready to rock and roll this summer. We've got a retired sheriff's deputy that's actually setting into vegetables. So the only overhead that he is covering this year is his seeds. We're covering his irrigation system, the plastic, the tomato stakes, the whole shebang. An important part of what we do as well is we actually have an equipment library that we're building. So if there's equipment that you need, because the equipment is expensive,
right,
and especially equipment that is ergonomic, because we're not getting any younger as veterans.
What does that mean, ergonomic?
You're like,
so you don't get hurt.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, all right.
But ergonomic is it works with your body. So this ergonomic chair, you know, okay, just ergonomic shoes. But
I've heard that term. I never quite knew what it meant. To be honest with you.
There's equipment that there's is equipment. More ergonomic. And it
works. So you're not bent over all the
time.
Right,
so you're not bent over all the time.
Okay, got it. Okay.
So like for us to grow at a scale, so there's growing in your backyard, and then there's growing at a scale that to pay your bills. And that takes equipment. If you have to plant 500 peppers or even 1,000 peppers, you don't want to spend that all day long bending over. We've done that. That's what we have been doing. We just ran across a piece of equipment we're trying to pick up, $5,500. It's great, but that's $5,500 for a piece, and that's a used piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's $20,000. Great deal on that. But that's the equipment that we want to be able to provide. And this is the equipment that's available to use for all the veterans that are in the area that are part of our program. We show up with the equipment and the tractor, and we help work it for you and get you set up.
Do people – so you, they learn enough to just – if they have – an acre, a half acre in their backyard, they could do this themselves.
One of the big things I'd like to see is something right after World War II, the government came out and actually developed something that was called a Patriot Garden. It was 25 by 50 feet. And they had
It was the Victory Gardens.
Before that was the Victory Gardens, mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a whole map laid out. So 25 by 50 feet is enough space to grow a lot, the vast majority of your food for your family, for a family of five.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about Jake. Tell me a little, first of all, about your military experience.
Yeah.
And not to hit in a dark subject here, but we're talking about this young lady we had on yesterday who was just so inspirational. It's mind-boggling. You know, double amputee, tried to commit suicide. Now she's an advocate for suicide prevention. And I mentioned I had five people that I know that committed suicide. All five were veterans.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be with some of the things with those veterans. I'm not trying to be a dime store psychiatrist, but I think I kind of understand a little bit of what they were going through, and it wouldn't have been that hard to help them get out of that dark space if they had just shared the fact that they were in a dark space.
Yep.
But they had too much pride, some of them, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling what you're doing right now, when you have veterans there because you're one of them, they would open up, and just cracking that door
just a little bit.
Doesn't that make a big difference?
Just a little bit. And more often than not, and what I've heard you guys say even before I got on the radio here, is having the conversation. Okay?
Exactly.
And it actually starts with individuals like myself. It starts with me telling my story.
Exactly.
And that opens up that door just enough. They will say a little bit.
Yes.
And more often than not, even if they don't say anything, okay, yep, at least my story gave them at least a little bit of hope. They might make it another day.
And
I've got a buddy. I just want to say one quick thing, Joe. I got a buddy who, Vietnam, incredibly traumatized. I mean, went through crazy stuff in Vietnam. Marine, hardcore,
wow,
battle. You can't believe the things he went through. And he's actually in my book. Somebody finally convinced him to go to, I want to say it was Toma.
Yeah.
He went there for 2 months and didn't say a word.
Yeah.
He just sat and listened for two months and didn't open his mouth.
Mm.
And then he did. So you can't force it.
Nope.
But just giving them, saying, hey, here we are. Here I am.
Yes.
If you want to, just to let them know that there's somebody there that wants to.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You can't force it.
And another big thing that I have found is the loss of purpose steers a lot of folks down a dark hole.
That's what the girl said yesterday.
That's exactly what she said.
That's exactly
purpose.
What she said.
Yeah. Correct. Those are exact words.
And what we see a lot of is if we can find and build opportunities to give that sense of purpose back. So like what we do, a lot of what we do on the farm, I got three different private schools that we actually do transplant programs for. So when these folks are coming over to help volunteer, you're helping grow plants that are going to students so that they can learn how to grow. We're growing a lot. Every dollar that gets donated to our organization, we're actually donating back into the community in plants or produce. So that gives that sense of purpose back. You're doing something. You're not just coming out and growing produce and being labor. You are growing towards a better and brighter future for many folks.
The veterans who are struggling, there's a higher probability they share it with another veteran.
Yeah.
And I think that's great that you have that.
Or absolutely.
Maybe police and fire, but I mean that industry, that group of people. And I, if they're not going to speak, but I also think that we as concerned friends need to be aware of some of the signs that happen too.
Well, what you mentioned though, Jim, I want to say police officers have one of the highest suicide rates of any occupation in the country.
That's why we did. So we are Door County Farm for Vets, and we do focus hard on veterans because I am a veteran. This affects me and a lot of my friends personally, but There is also an ever-growing community with the police, firefighters, and EMS that do struggle, and I think they got forgotten about quite a bit in the same conversation. So we'd have opened that door wide open for them. Just because you wear a different colored uniform,
yeah,
we don't care. You're still our brother and sister in arms. We still love you.
And you still raised your right hand and said you're putting your life on the line.
And swore an oath to defend, to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Yep.
Pardon the pun, growing, but your business is doing pretty well. And I would have one suggestion, far be it for me to give advice, but I was on the board of the Ostoff Resort in Elkhart Lake, and there was a guy like you, we bought all our produce from him because it was, like you said, I mean, it's just so much better.
It is.
And then we really advertise that, and customers like that. They're willing to pay a little bit more. So, yeah, you got a lot of nice restaurants up in Door County. I mean, and I'm sure you could be affiliated with one of those and say, look, this all our vegetables come from you guys. I think people would be like, oh, that's.
We're actually part of a very large co-op as well. And underneath that co-op, it's called Seasonal Harvest. And we're working with them. So a lot of the stuff that we grow actually goes to school systems.
Nice.
So we sell to the school systems. We sell to the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
But the most important part that we're trying to build as well is just because you can grow a bunch of produce doesn't mean it's going to sell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to have the market. Okay. So we're also working and making sure that when we are getting these veterans in there, one, we're helping them with their overhead costs. Two, we're helping them get their product moved and sold for them so that they can actually get their own equipment and get this lifted off effectively and quickly.
So if we've got a veteran listening right now and says, I don't know anything about you guys, but it sounds interesting. How do I get involved?
Perfect. You can go right to www.dcfarmforvets.org. And you should also keep in mind, as soon as you get there, there's going to be a banner that pops up right in front of you. Because right now we have a competition going on. We've got our first brand new baby lambs were born a couple weeks ago. So we're actually asking the public to help pick names for our first two baby lambs.
Okay. Can I just say something, though?
Today?
Yeah. Todd and I both are going to be like, yeah, today is roast leg of lamb day. Todd and I both.
I thought it was.
Todd and I both do not believe in eating lamb.
Yeah.
And this guy right here will put everyone on the grill. Am I wrong, Todd?
You're right.
Jake.
Yeah.
Jake, you forgot that raises it. Do you like lamb?
Lamb is wonderful.
Yep. It is.
So
it's expensive.
Yeah, and it's.
Once you give them a name, you can't eat them.
I would think that's...
Come on!
I'll buy it before you name it. I agree with John.
That's why I'm not naming it. We're asking for the public.
Fine. Jake, tell me about something else, because you know about my next career, or my current career I'm going to do along with this. I'm going to become a mushroom farmer.
Yes.
Now, you tell me, because you are a mushroom farmer, correct?
We grow a little bit of everything, and that's the whole property is set up. So we have multiple agriculture endeavors on spot. So we've got greenhouse growing, hoop house growing, open fields. We've got bees. We've got chickens, turkeys, lambs, mushrooms. We just have finished up our mushroom cultivation class. So we have roughly 60 logs that we just inoculated with oyster mushrooms, shiitakes.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do. Shiitake. Get these logs up at my deer hunt camp. Drill a hole, put a little dowel in that's loaded with the spores, covered over with a little bit of wax, I think it is, or something.
You put a little bit of wax.
Wax?
I got a whole line of pictures here if you want to see them.
This is my dream.
And how are they selling, Jake?
The mushrooms, we actually won't get any of the mushroom production until next year.
Yeah, it takes a couple of years, right?
Yeah, usually you inoculate one now.
Okay.
And then 12 months from now, depending on the shiitake lot, we'll actually have to soak those logs probably about the end of June, and then we'll get production out of those. The oyster mushrooms, those will start producing probably next spring. The button mushrooms that we planted in the ground, those will actually start to come in probably in a couple
of
months.
You ever hear of like wine camp or something?
Yep.
We got to talk more about this. Set a quick break. We're with Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farm for Veterans, back after this. 100 acres that used to be my farm. Like my daddy did, my grandpa cleared his land. When I was 5, I walked the fence while grandpa held my hand. Rain on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
College may not be the right path for your kid, but that doesn't mean they can't earn a good living and have a secure future. If they like working with their hands and want to help build up surrounding communities, they should consider a career in the skilled trades through a 4-year apprenticeship as a union carpenter. To learn more, it's easy. Visit NorthCountryCarpenter.org and fill out the interest form to get more information. That's NorthCountryCarpenter.org.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report, live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mine of the Mayor here. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. We can't ask for a better testimonial than the mayor himself.
Jake, you got Pella Windows? I love them. We bought a house, and it was a lot. It was a stretch for us to buy that house. And then we looked at, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done with the house. But the first thing we did was windows and doors to help, you know, with your electricity bill and then the heat and everything else. And we looked around, but we ended up going to Pella. And the reason John's been at my house.
Once.
Well, that's enough. Just different size windows. We had like 22 windows in our house. This is a bigger house. And they just came in, measured everything, gave us some options. You know, we went with the wood, but they have different sizes and styles. And as much as we reduced our heat bills, what was nice is the house was a lot quieter because we live kind of, there's a busy street. Monroe's like two houses down from us. So.
But also you don't have air conditioning.
Yeah, we don't have air conditioning in our house. So
it was built in 1915.
Right.
We don't have air conditioning either.
Yeah, but it's nice. I mean, you don't really need it. Maybe in August, but I you can open the windows. And anyway, they did a great job. And now, unlike when I bought them, they have some great financing. When we bought them, it was kind of like, you know, cash up front. But
well, he had shoeboxes full of cash the first days as the mayor. When people come, hey, mayor, I need a favor. So, hey, we'll talk. You know what he would do? He'd be like, hey, listen, I'm going to go grab a cup of coffee. Here's my desk. When I come back, you be gone and you leave something behind.
A little bit behind.
And he put in these shoeboxes. Right. He actually showed me. It's upstairs of his garage. He's got these shoes. Remember that time? Christmas party? He got hammered. And he took us and showed us these shoeboxes of cash.
Okay.
It was incredible.
Different bills in the floor shine.
Yes. The
100s
and one, the
50s,
the 20s, it was all organized.
Nothing less than a 20, though.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a great investment in, you know, doors. And I just, and Pella is, as you know, they do, I don't know if they donate to you guys, but that's a company that gives back a lot in Green Bay. I mean, they do a lot for the new community shelter. They do Bay Beach. Kellerwood's boys are good guys. And anyway, that's my plug. I love them. I just think that's great. And they're a sponsor of ours. They came on right away. You know, they're just like, hey, look, we like what you guys are going to do about, you know, talking about the local community and all the great things that are happening in Northeast Wisconsin. And those are our customers. And so we want to help support your show. So anyway,
tell us more about mushroom farming.
Mushroom farming is great and they taste good. Especially, there's nothing better.
There's nothing better than mushroom soup. Mushroom soup is the greatest thing in the world.
The day we got done with our, it was last Saturday, we had our mushroom class.
Okay.
And Michael Mary.
I would have come to this. I'm not even kidding. I would have come to this if I had known.
We'll start sending you updates on some of our future events and stuff like that. Because we got
a lot
of
throughout the air here. I think other people would want to be involved.
Yeah. Our next big event is actually going to be June 14th for Flag Day.
Yeah, that's cool.
Flag Day is going to be a big day. So we actually, there's a proper way to actually retire old flags. They're old Raditore flags. We held a whole ceremony and properly laid these flags to rest and then proceed with burning all of them. Don't just burn the flag.
And that's Flag Day.
That's actually on Flag Day, yeah.
I think that's cool that you have that ceremony. I've been to a couple of those. I don't remember a huge ceremony. Do you decommission the flags or what is the ceremony?
There's a whole outline in the American Legion booklet that we go through step by step, and there's a call to command, and there's salutes, and
there's
a whole process that we go through to properly put them down.
Can we bring our tattered flags to the event, or do you need them ahead of time?
No, you can bring all your tattered flags to the event. We invite all the American Legions, VFWs, AMVETs, police, firefighters, EMS. We invite all those from the community to come out and participate. We invite the public to come out and participate.
That's a cool ceremony.
I'm probably going to put something up on our website and through Facebook to try to get an RSVP if we've got a...
Whatever you got going on, Jake, please let us know. Yeah. We'll publicize the hell out of it.
The website, again, is this DC...
DCFarmForVets.org, yep.
Okay.
And now, once again, just going back to the basics of your farm.
Yeah.
What you do and how did you, I mean, you're a veteran. Can you give a little bit of background of your?
Sure. I actually enlisted before 9/11 even happened.
Okay.
So
Army?
Army National Guard right here in Wisconsin.
127?
127. Yep. I believe you spoke at our send-off ceremony.
Yes, I did.
And we were actually part of, I was actually part of Delta Company way up in Marinette.
Oh, sure.
And I just found out they're shutting that armory down, actually.
In Marinette?
They're shutting the whole building's going up for sale, I guess.
Wow. Because there are a lot of guys from the Marinette area that were, when I embedded overseas with them, a lot of guys from.
That was my unit. So what they ended up doing is they took that entire Marinette unit and attached it to Bravo Company here at a Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
And we were 4th Platoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Bravo is actually the group that I stayed with.
Yep. Bravo Company, Camp Navistar. That's where we were stationed.
Yep.
And when the 127th came home,
beautiful place of the world.
Oh, I think Amy might have a little different definition of beautiful, but it was hot.
Oh my God.
I'll never forget how hot it was.
I remember I brought over that oven thermometer. And I want to say it got up to 130 or something like that. I put it up. We were at the Temple of Ur. Remember where the Temple of Ur was?
Temple of Ur.
And I put it on the hood of the Humvee, and we went up on the Temple of Ur, which is one of the oldest structures on the planet.
The most impressive thing that I remember about the Temple of Ur was what was in the sand on the ground. All the seashells.
Yeah.
There were seashells everywhere.
Yes.
Where was the water?
Right. I got some. That shows how long ago that was.
Exactly.
It was underwater. And it was, I found some pieces of some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about it. But I took home with me.
I got goosebumps. That was one of the coolest places I ever got to go and see.
Abraham's house.
Yep. We were right there.
Wow. I was in the basement of Abraham's house, Jim. Digging around in there.
Yeah.
True story.
It was cool. So like, I guess it's been a thing that human beings have done for forever with actually like scribing your name and dates on stuff.
Yeah.
So when you get to the Temple of Ur, you have names like St. Francis something or other from 15 something or whatnot. Like
that were there.
Way, way back with their names actually etched in the wall.
Yeah. And it's so funny because we talk with the United States. Oh, man, we're 250 years old.
Yeah.
They're 6,000 years old.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we haven't changed. I guess Homo sapiens are going to be the same for forever.
That's the part that really struck me. It's like they built this huge, unbelievable structure 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's still, and just the names and the amount of people that were there. And actually, the name Iraq, actually, this is a country with great roots.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
That's
what it sounds for, yeah.
Okay.
Circling back, so my experience, so I volunteered to stay with the 121. I ended up getting med flighted home a little bit early for traumatic brain injury and getting tested and getting that issue all ironed out.
Where did that happen?
That actually happened.
Bridge?
Bridge, right around Bridge 8, actually.
Bridge 8?
Yeah. So we first couple of months there, we actually ran convoy. We were our
convoy security.
Convoy security, and we were actually on the route security element. So we were there when.
Were you there when I was there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I remember you there.
Did we hang out?
Absolutely.
Remember my trivia show that night?
I think I was out on the road for that portion.
Okay. It was the day Zarqawi got killed.
Zarqawi.
Yeah. It was the day he got killed.
I was actually in Baghdad for that.
Okay.
I was in Baghdad when Zarqawi got killed and when Saddam got hung.
Okay.
That was a fiery night that I can remember.
I can imagine.
Wow. Yeah.
That was a total blackout, wasn't it, night?
It was. I
know some guys that were on missions, and they said, pull over.
Yeah.
Don't even go any further. Just sit there in the dark.
Just hold tight.
Just hold tight.
Because we were actually already on biop. So that was Baghdad International Airport. So we were already.
I stayed at Camp Liberty the next time I came. Camp Liberty Victory.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Striker, Liberty Victory Striker were the three little bases and biop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you go down Rhode Irish?
Oh, that was a sketchy one.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, I still have. I still dream of that route.
Yeah.
So you came back, you got, the help you needed, and now you have this farm up.
Fast forward.
Hey, I would just say if that base is closing, that warehouse, you might want to look at that and do some indoor farming, that whole aqua farm where the fish, there's a lot of cool stuff that you can grow into.
There's so many different opportunities for growing food right now.
Right.
It is absolutely insane.
That's awesome you're teaching us.
We got Kayla come on, the new UW Green Bay women's basketball coach. We're going to have her on. Can you just stick around through that? And there's still more I want to talk to you about.
Sure. I guess I can figure
it out. I just think this is so fascinating what you do, Jake. Door County Farm for Veterans. I just think it's a really cool, cool thing. Yeah. We're going to send a break. Kayla Karius, UW Green Bay women's new basketball coach, joining us. When we come back, Mind on the Mayor. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Perseverance, that is the name of the game in trying to get the farm bill done. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. The National Farmers Union has been diligent about trying to keep up conversation regarding the farm bill and getting it done. Mike Strantz is vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union, and he says they're using the time right now to press policymakers on consolidation in agriculture.
Now, one you'll probably hear more about from a lot of other organizations, too, is on the farm safety net, making sure that programs to help farmers when prices are bad or the weather doesn't cooperate are there to kick in and keep farmers farming through those tough times. The other aspect, though, is on fairness for farmers and making sure competition issues are directly taken up in the farm bill, whether that's on ensuring transparency and openness in the cattle markets, whether that's giving farmers the right to repair their own farm equipment, or making sure that the monopolies don't entirely control sectors of the agriculture economy, like on inputs or seed or fertilizer.
Mike Strantz, he's the vice president of advocacy for the National Farmers Union. He says, well, it's frustrating that the farm bill's not already done. They're grateful for the time that still exists to help continue to educate legislators. Markets on the way next. Research, promotion, and education, that's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yeah, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org. Barrel cheese was up a quarter of a cent on Monday at 188 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese up a nickel at 184. Double A butter stood still. This morning, the class 3 fluid milk that goes into cheese. June contracts down 4 at 1941. July closed 15 cents higher at 1943. December corn's up a penny at 489. November beans are down a penny, 1218. The July new crop wheat up 4 right now, 652 a bushel. Wisconsin farmers as of Sunday had 22% of their corn planted, 22% of the soybeans also in the ground in our latest crop progress report for Wisconsin. There's your market update. I'm PM Yonke.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely, especially this afternoon. Our high today, 59, with wind out of the southeast at around 10 to 20, gusting to 25, especially in the morning. Tonight, gradual clearing, still some lingering showers, thundershowers, 50. Tomorrow, sun in the morning, sprinkles in the afternoon with a high of 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Busted pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. this part of the show or want to share it with a friend, check out the Mino and the Mayor podcast at civicmedia.us and on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Take Mino and the Mayor with you everywhere. Now, once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor had a good looking Tuesday morning. We got some exciting things happening at UW Green Bay, a brand new women's basketball coach. Coach Kayla, are you there?
I am here. Good morning, everybody.
How you doing? It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, but you can recognize Mino's voice from anywhere. So it's a good familiar voice to have back in my ear, I'll tell you.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Coach, it's funny when Johnny and I go out and people come up to you and, I listen, and they're older, right? They're 30 years old. I listened to you when I was a little kid. So, yeah, he's been around.
Yes,
and, makes him feel young.
Yes. But it is, I'm so excited that you got the, obviously, Kevin is like a brother to us and to you guys. What a phenomenal thing he did. But what a great move by them bringing you back from South Dakota to take over at UW Green Bay. How exciting is this for you?
Well, it's really exciting. Yeah, I'm honored, honestly. I've been watching, obviously, for the program from afar ever since I graduated. You always keep tabs on your alma mater, and you always root for them. And now it's very interesting here the last 2 years being head coach at South Dakota and honestly competing against them for certain recruits or certain battles that you try and win. And so, but I've always kept tabs on them. And obviously what Kevin Borseth has accomplished in this program is unmatched. I mean, to win over 800 games and to truly, more than anything, impact as many student-athletes' lives as he did. I think there's so many players who played for him who would consider him a good friend, even like a dad or a grandpa figure-like, and they just want him a part of their lives. And I think that's the best part about him is he's just one of the best people that we all know.
How true that is, that he was really more than a coach. You've kept tabs on the team. I wonder if you've kept tabs on the community support for the girls' basketball, GB. I mean,
Jim and I go to games.
Yeah, they just pack them in. It's the energy in that in the gym it's terrific. And you're really good. I don't know if you had that in South Dakota, but I mean, you're going to have it here. It's very, very exciting.
No, it is. No, there's nothing like the Green Bay community. And like, this is years and years in the making, right, of everybody getting excited about these games. And then, of course, the Crest Center gets built and we move in there in 2007. And ever since then, that place, you're right, it's been rocking. There's been several sellout games and regardless, just great crowds every single night, which it makes it so fun for our own team to play in front of those great people. We have so many local players on the roster. Right. So I know those people in the community love to follow their careers through high school and then continue to cheer them on here at Green Bay. That will be something that we continue to do. But honestly, it's great in recruiting. You know, we bring in young players and we're like, you want to play in front of this? I mean, who can say no to that? Right. So we appreciate all the support that they give us. We truly have the best fans. And honestly, it's hard to even call them fans because there's so many of them that, like in my press conference speech, I even said they're fans that have become family because you just get to know them so well and they get to know you and you just invest in each other. It just seems like more than a fan and a player relationship. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched one of your interviews or read something on you and you said you wanted to do things the Green Bay way. And I'm just wondering if you could expound on that a little bit.
Well, this is something that has been part of the program for a long, long time. And everybody kind of defines it differently. But I think overall the concept is that this program is really a player-led program. And when I was a player, I can specifically remember coming in as a freshman. And again, when you come in as a freshman, you're usually one of the best or the best player on your high school team, right? But now it's all the best players are coming together. So now you've got the senior leadership, the junior leadership who are teaching you guys as freshmen how we do things. And that's the unspoken, that's the culture piece that the coaches never really had to reinforce. It was the players saying, we get here this amount of time early before practice. We all get our shots up. This is how we carry ourselves in public. This is what we do in the classroom. And none of that came from coaches. And I think that that's really rare, that there's such respect for the upperclassmen, that the underclassmen just, they follow suit. And then in 3 or 4 years, when it's their turn, then they take over that leadership role and they pass it down. And it's just something that I think the separator, that's the reason that this program has done extremely well, is because the players have such ownership. And honestly, the coaches empower them to have the ownership and to have the leadership. It's not like one person at the top telling everybody what to do. It's like, this is your program. It's going to go as far as you want it to go. So how far do you want to take it? And then the upperclassmen just lead and everybody follows suit. So I think it's a really special concept. It's all about our culture.
We're talking with Kayla Karius, new head bat. Did I pronounce that right, Kayla? Karius?
Yeah, you did. Yes.
I still want to call you by your maiden name, but that's fine. UWGB.
It's a little easier. A little easier than touch law.
It is. New UWGB women's basketball coach. You know, one of the cool things, though, too, obviously you had a phenomenal career at GB, but then you played professional basketball, and let's be honest, every high school player would love to say someday they got paid to play basketball, not just a scholarship, which is pretty phenomenal, but they were a professional basketball player. You did it. You know the ins and the outs, and it's sometimes it's not as glamorous as people think being a professional basketball player in Europe, but still you had that tremendous experience that you can share with them. Can you talk a little bit about that? If you got a recruit who say, and you say, hey, what's your goal? Well, I want to be a great, I want to win a lot in college, and then I'd like to play some pro basketball. What would you tell them?
Yeah, well, you nailed it. It's such a great experience. And anybody who kind of has the inkling about it, I push them to try and do it or at least look into it. Because for me, it was four of the coolest years of my life. I mean, to be able to, like you said, get paid to play basketball. You're living in Europe. There's a lot of downtime because it's not set up the exact same way. And you're not a student anymore, so you have more downtime. To be able to travel. I mean, I was in 15 to 20-ish countries because it's so easy to travel once you get over there. It's just a phenomenal experience to be able to live in a different culture. I learned a couple different languages. In fact, my friends would make fun of me, but when I would always come home during the summer still and work odd jobs. In fact, a lot of times I was working Kevin Borsett's basketball camp just to try and make some money in the summer. And I'd go back to Green Bay and play with the girls. And my English vocabulary was getting so bad because I was learning all these other languages. And my brain was so clouded with, sometimes I'd want to respond in like a Dutch word or a German word. And I couldn't think of the English word. That's how immersed I was in the culture, meeting new people and trying new foods. And there's no better time in your life than right after college to get out and go and to do that. And I think for women's basketball, especially our professional league here in the States, WNBA is so competitive and it's small and it's a league that's trying to grow and now have added one team here this year, but it's taken them a long time to add even just one team. And so you're just looking at roughly 150 of the best basketball players in the entire world are in this league and everyone else. I mean, there's first round draft picks who never make rosters.
Right.
And that's really competitive. And so now what? And I want players to know that their dreams don't have to just end with the WNBA. You've got opportunities like crazy over in Europe, and not just Europe, but Australia and China and all over that are willing to pay female basketball players to go be a part of their clubs and to go and experience something brand new and to live there. It's such an experience that I want them to know is an opportunity first and then to try and go take advantage of it. I had just the best time over there. I've met a million great people and have such great memories that I'll never forget.
You know, that's just terrific that I think Johnny's right in that I think a lot of girls would like to play pro, but what you just shared with us, probably 95% of people don't even know all the opportunities that are out there, even though their parents, as much as they want their daughter to be successful. And, you know, that's where coaching is more than just the X's and O's. And you really seem like you're bringing that to the game as well, to encourage these people to go out and seek their dreams, you know. And I think that makes it, you know, there's so many people that we talked yesterday on the other side. This girl had no purpose. She had no hope. And yet had she, you know, maybe played basketball with you, she would have, you know. And I think that's great. You're bringing that to the team and to the community.
I appreciate that. And I think it's basketball is always your avenue towards something else. And for me, we all love the game. That's why we play. And we play it at a high level. That's fantastic. And yet, what are we accomplishing outside of that? I think the coolest part is our players, myself, I'm a walking example of this. I grew tremendously as a person all the way around, not just a basketball player, but I grew like crazy as a person, like continuing to communicate better and be more outgoing and to be professional in those settings and be a good student. All that was happening without me even realizing it. And then you graduate and you're like, I'm a totally different person right now. And I think it's important to really emphasize, we're going to spend a lot of time on leadership development and making sure we know that there's a lot of female leaders out there and have them come in and speak to our team and really try and inspire whatever field that they're going into, because not all of them will go play professional basketball. We've got aspiring doctors on our team. We've got aspiring teachers, all across the board. And that's fantastic. So you can go and be a leader in whatever field you decide.
Kayla, one other thing that, you know, that I really realized in one of the last games that we went to, I think it was against Youngstown, first round of the tournament.
It was. Mm-hmm.
And I even told Kevin afterwards, I said, Kevin, you know what? I watched so much college basketball, and obviously I did, you know, play-by-play for so many years and everything like that with the men's. But I said, I can't think of a team that I've watched over the last 5 years that, and this could be, you talk about the Green Bay way and how do you describe it, but you know what? Help on defense. I've never seen a team, men or women, that help more on defense than UW Green Bay women. And when you talk about the Green Bay way, with Kevin Boris said, that was like a cardinal sin if you didn't. And as Kevin used to say, too, the bench is the greatest motivator they're in. You would just sit the bench if you don't help on defense. And nobody wants to help on defense. But if you play for Green Bay, you better, correct?
Well, it's really been the staple of this program. And you're right. That's something that the underclassmen always have to learn when they get here. You may score 30 points a game in high school, but if you're not guarding anybody, you don't see the floor.
Yep.
And for this team last year to hold opponents in conference play to 54 points a game for the third year in a row to be the number one team in the league defensively, you've got the other bench over there. They're scratching their heads going, how can we score?
Yep.
How can we? Does anyone have any ideas?
Yep.
And it just gives our team like such great pleasure to see all the frustration on their end of the floor with on their offensive end. So it is. It's a really special thing. Coach Borseth was huge on the defensive end. That carried through all the way through my career and continues on even now. The other piece that he's really, really hard on him for and it's paid off is not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
And in fact, I just got a message. The NCAA has come out with their final statistics, and Green Bay women's basketball finished first in the country in assist to turnover ratio.
Wow.
And it's pretty impressive that we can do that. And that, again, there's such emphasis on number one, sharing the ball. And averaging 19 assists a game is pretty incredible. But then not turning it over and having 11 turnovers a game, it's a pretty incredible ratio. And to be best in the country in anything is really, really hard to do. So it deserves a lot of credit.
And another thing, though, too, the GPA is one of the best in the country, right?
No doubt. Yep, that's another thing that's always been part of the Green Bay way. And we continue to do that when we go through the recruiting process. We're looking for great students. We're looking for driven and motivated and all that and great students that want to continue to be good at the college level and go on and pursue their careers. This year has been no different. They've been an incredible group, still finishing out finals this week here and should have a final number soon, but always in the top 25 in the country in GPA, which is always impressive.
Awesome.
We've had a couple of your players on our show, and you know, when they leave, we're like,
how classy.
We just didn't feel like we accomplished much. I mean,
didn't feel worthy.
We didn't feel worthy.
Wow,
that's the word.
We've sucked in our lives.
It's amazing to us, and we've had a couple of your players on.
Well, Cassie, who lives here too, yeah.
And how well-rounded they are.
Yeah.
You know, they love their families, they love their community, they love school, and obviously, like you said, they love playing basketball. And I hope that there's more people, and I think there are, in the community, and that recruiting locally, I mean, that's pretty cool, too.
It's a great area for high school basketball.
It is.
Oh, it really is. The last few years especially, it has just taken off. I mean, we don't have to go very far at all. You look in the Green Bay metro area, you look down in the valley,
right?
Just to start. I mean, and then you fan your way out from there. But we have such great talent right in our backyard. It's really exciting to come to a place that has that type of population, that the girls are really driven. You know, you're seeing these individual workout gyms pop up all over.
Yeah.
That they're now, I'm talking to recruits on the phone and, oh, I just came from AU practice and now I'm going to come home and eat lunch and then later I'm going to go see my trainer at the gym. And
it's like, incredible.
There's so many more opportunities for these kids, which I think is just, it's so different from in past years. They love it. And then they have resources there available. If they really want to get better and be in the gym, they can. And I think that's just continued to foster great girls basketball in this region. And we have such great talent in our backyard. We'll continue to recruit locally. I think that's great for them. It's great for their families. Again, I'm a walking example of that, just being here from Sheboygan and having the whole community come up and follow you. I think that's another way we're going to fill up the crest.
Kayla, we cannot wait to come out and watch you guys play.
There.
So excited for you. So happy for you. And this is really great. Congratulations
awesome.
On getting the job
Thank
and what
you
you've
guys.
Done. You're
Thank
the best.
Thank you, guys. We'll look forward to seeing you in the stands.
Absolutely.
There.
We will be there. We're there, Kayla. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thanks. Kayla, Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. You head basketball coach for UW Green Bay women's basketball. She's phenomenal.
She's awesome.
Oh, man. She's going to be great. We got Shannon Elbert from Security Loop Key Roofing. But we're also going to have Jake from Door County Farm for Veterans. We come back right after this. Don't get mad. Don't get mad.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back. Coach Kayla, that was...
Isn't she awesome?
She's going to be...
Can you imagine her going into a recruit's house?
Right, that's... I was going to say, she brings more than basketball to the game.
Absolutely.
And she lived it, too, which is...
Sheboygan South.
Great as Kevin was and always will be, I mean, she really is a female that lived it. And
absolutely.
She can really, I think,
but
relate
that's, I mean,
at a different
level. Can
you
imagine her going into a recruit's house?
She would leave with
we have one of the highest grade point averages in the country.
Right.
We play better defense than anybody in the country. You're going to go to class.
Number one.
You're going to work out. Right. You're going to do all these things. What's the negative?
And we're
you have better fan support than anybody in the conference.
And we're going to win.
And we're going to win. Yeah. And that can help you get a professional job in Europe.
Right.
Yeah, not bad.
It's a thing of beauty.
Hey, Jake.
It is.
Hey, where'd you go to high school, Jake?
I graduated from the great big city of Oconee Falls.
Oh!
Oh, yeah.
You're a Falls guy.
Oh, yeah. That's probably one of the biggest school district area-wise in the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. It's massive.
One of my good friends from my hometown was a teacher in Oconee Falls.
Oh, what was his name?
Al Peruco.
Shut up.
Yeah! He graduated.
Mr. Peruco. Oh, yeah. That's bringing back some memories. You're making me feel old.
He's having me come up and speak to his classes and take me out. Okay. And holy cow. People in Oconee Falls like to have fun.
Oh, yeah. We could tell stories, many stories, but I don't know if they're actually
we probably should. We'll do it
radio.
Afterwards over a beer or something like that. Hey, I just want to talk one more thing, Jake. And first of all, and I don't want to sound cheesy or whatever, cliche or whatever, but, you know, thanking you for your service. But knowing what you guys did in Iraq is a very, and I try to beat the drums and tell everybody what you guys did. But one of the things that people don't realize that you guys did over there, you guys did so much to help civilians. Oh, and wow. Nobody knows that story. And you guys put your lives on the line helping civilians. And that story has not been told enough.
Yeah, and that's one of the, in a full voluntary military, we're all inherently wired to serve something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah.
So if we're able to bring peace and harmony and help serve the public, that's kind of our forte. And to be able to help the civilians there, we were helping build water filtration systems and sewer systems,
schools.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff. I mean, a lot of the convoys that we were hauling up was lumber to do this stuff, and vehicles and all the equipment to do so. And I can promise you, there was a lot of equipment that was moving north.
I know.
And we were taking a lot of empty trucks south.
Yeah.
That was part of it. But to be able to be a part of that and to build something bigger and more beautiful than what it was when we got there was something that was pretty cool to be a part of.
That's awesome.
And you were there. I want to get back to the Door County, you know, farms for vets, but you were there when they took them out?
Sarkawi?
No. The leader, the Osama. Not Osama.
Oh,
Saddam.
Saddam.
Saddam. Yeah. Well, Zarqawi was second in command.
He was the second guy. Yeah, I wouldn't get to
remember those decks of cards. Remember?
Oh, yeah, they had the deck of cards. Zarqawi was the leader of the Al-Qaeda.
That was kind of a cool marketing thing, the deck of cards. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, but.
I remember walking to the mess hall at Camp Navistar, and they had his picture up almost like a wanted poster. And they had the circle with the big thing
big
going through
right across it.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I wanted to grab one of those for a souvenir.
Well, it was a good feeling because that's why we were there. I said, all right, well, objective has been met. In 2005 to 2006, that was like the height of the height of the fighting. And that was, you know, I just listened to a great podcast the other day with a gentleman named Tom Kennedy, and he was Special Forces in Baghdad when they got Zarqawi. He was actually on the fire team that went in and got him. And it was a long podcast. It was like a 4-hour long podcast.
I just want to say one thing. Awesome. I saw some of those guys when they would come back at BIOP. You'd hear a helicopter go out in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And then you'd hear a helicopter come back, and you'd see those guys in the mess hall thing. And they'd almost had an aura around them. It's like, I don't even want to look at them the wrong way. Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
It gets intense.
Yes.
I mean, it goes you cruising down the road to, oh, we're in some shit right now.
Yeah.
It happens, and it happens fast.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen like it happens in the movies. It's a different, it's not Hollywoodized, I guess is the word. But I'm glad we made it home. There was an old saying that I heard a long time ago is most men die at 30. They're just not buried until 80.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that experience so much life in 1 year.
Yeah.
They just wanted to come home and have a nice, quiet life.
Well, I remember the time right before I left, and I talk about this whenever I speak someplace. Before I left one day, I said, hey, guys, tell me, I was in one of the tents, and I think I was with some bunch of guys from Marinette in those areas, and I said, tell me some of the things that people back in the States don't appreciate. Like, now that you guys have been over in hell, I'm sorry, but if when you're in... You're in northern Kuwait, southern Iraq. It's hot. It's like being on Mars or something. There's nothing that you could relate to, right?
Still have
nothing.
And they say, maybe it's a dry heat, but the closer you get to the Gulf, there was still humidity.
Terrible, crazy. Hot. It was like New Orleans. But the thing is, I said, what do you, and guys would come up with the smell of fresh cut grass.
Yes.
I mean, the little things that we take
That's
advantage
cool.
of, a sprinkler. Being able to turn on a sprinkler.
The fact that you don't have to walk a quarter mile to go to the bathroom.
Yes, in a sandstorm.
The sandstorms.
Those are unbelievable.
Your face would be sandblasted.
Yeah, you'd have to wear a towel over your face. Yep. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you're standing through the top of a Humvee doing 55 miles an hour down the highway.
As a gunner.
Oh. And then to try to clean your weapon afterwards, you would have sand in places sand should not be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember taking a shower and I'd dry, and the towel would be, you know, it'd be the color of the sand over there because it would be so deep in your pores.
Yeah.
It was such a fine sand that was in your pores. And you guys did that for a year.
Yeah. Some of us did it for two.
2 years. Yeah. Incredible.
And I'm kind of, and now that we're back home, and that's one of the big missions that we have at DC Farm for Vets is while we were deployed, we would never leave a man behind.
No.
Ever. And I think through the process of coming home and trying to get reacquainted to civilian life, we didn't forget that, but it was overshadowed with trying to get ourselves back on track to try to get reacquainted. And it took about till now for my generation of veterans, about a decade after being home, because it took me a long time to get better, to be able to be in the position to even reach out to others, to be able to provide assistance in any way that we can. But we're finally
You know what
there.
I will say, though? The one that people always ask me, were you scared, you know, when I went on missions? I said, well, sure, of course. I mean, you mean, of course. Because they took me to the boneyard one time and showed me the, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where the Humvees that had been blown up. It's like, oh, this is serious. This is real deal. But you also felt, because you guys, where it wasn't gloom and doom when you're on these missions. They were telling dirty jokes. They were talking about, you know what I mean? And that's all they want to do is ask me about the Packers and the Brewers. So it's like, I almost feel like, well, they're so at ease knowing that, you know what I mean? Why should I be? So that was the cool part.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference. So courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the understanding that there's something more important than that fear. And we all knew that. And that's because we were helping build a bigger and better community for Iraq. That was very important to us. And helping keep America safe. I mean, I still remember 9/11 like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
I was a senior in high school. I was already enlisted. And that whole summer of my junior year, I got a pile of my buddies all enlisted. So there was like 8-10 of us enlisted, locked, cockpited a rock. And then senior year, we're watching planes hit the train.
I was on IXX that morning talking about it.
Absolutely insane.
Jake, give us your website one more time.
www.dcfarmforbets.org. If you need any help with anything, give us a shout.
And you know what? You can contact Jim or I, too, and we'll put you in touch.
Cool?
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for what you're doing.
You're the best, Jake. Thank you, my friend. Shannon Alberts joining us when we come back right after this.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Jane, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Todd Alba joins us at 11:06. Dr. Kieran Tamirius, a political psychiatrist, on how to talk to people we don't agree with. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.